B-Pod Studios.
Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, the Patriots' season is over after they got shredded in Buffalo Saturday night, so all that's left now is to pack up and head home for the rest of the winter. Bill Belichick saw his team badly outclassed, but won't get emotional about any of this right now.
The day after the season, with the players and the rosters, definitely not a time to make those decisions, and on any level, the team level or the player level.
Players will be in today to pack up and head home. Yesterday, Tom Brady threw for 271 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Tampa Bay beat Philadelphia 31-15. Tampa will host the winner of tonight's game between Arizona and the Rams this coming Sunday. That's because San Francisco upset the Cowboys in Dallas 23-17. The Niners head to Green Bay on Saturday night. Over in the AFC last night, Patrick Mahomes threw five touchdown passes. Kansas City doubled up Pittsburgh 42-21. The Chiefs played Buffalo Sunday night. Cincinnati will visit top-seeded Tennessee on Saturday. Celtics are once again at 500. They'll play New Orleans at TD Garden this afternoon. Grandy and Mags have the pregame at noon and the tip-off at 12:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Brooklyn will be without Kevin Durant for the next 4 to 6 weeks. He was accidentally rolled up on and suffered a sprained MCL over the weekend. And the Bruins are off until tomorrow night when they host Carolina. The team placed Carson Kuhlman on waivers yesterday. Sports Hub headlines are fueled by New England Dairy. Dairy gives you energy to fuel your game day. It's good for your body and your brain. Real life needs real dairy. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
All the trolls come out at night.
Right, forgot about that. Shame on me.
It's Adam Jones on the Sports Hub. Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Snap to Allen. Give to Singletary. Runs it left. Dives to the goal line. He stretches the football.
He's in.
Seemingly across, and now the signal. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Just a non-competitive
A three-score
drive.
Lead.
Non-competitive drive to your defensive front.
But there was a dildo. You see, you always have that.
Yeah, don't say you didn't get anything out of that game. A little something.
So I do, during the show, go to Twitter and see what people are saying, and people are mad at us.
Why?
I don't know.
What we're saying is too real. That's what it is.
Yeah, right. We're really testing the limits of society's right norms.
It's not ready to hear it. It's not ready to hear these things.
It's just like if you're a get out of here with Patriots fans. Like, what are you guys talking about? They're great. We're Tutcher and Reg. Bob Soucy is, and Adam Jones is here. Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. And Bob's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it is his avoidance of inhalants. He has never at one point sniffed glue. It's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea as well. Hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Bob Soucy. Bob, now what is the life of Bob Soucy now, besides your Mr. Sid's appearances? Like, is there another job? Is there, like, what do you do from now on?
Oh, I might take up, you know, that I might take up glue stiffing. I don't, you know.
I suggest paint? Get a nice can of spray paint in a sock. But make sure you don't get any on your face, because that's a telltale sign. And the next thing you know, they're packing you off to rehab.
Yeah, it's like a scarlet letter.
And there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
That stigma is going to be with you for a while.
I don't mean to make light of that too much.
Oh, well, Bob, once you've gone after the inhalants people, I mean, you're really asking for it. So, but is this like, I know there's public appearances and stuff, but is there other play-by-play work? What do you do when the season's over?
I haven't done other play-by-play work since I got the Patriots job, other than, you know, a couple of college basketball games here or there. I have done that, I guess, by intention, initially, the program director at our station and I decided, it was important to immerse myself only in Patriots, for that first year or two. And, other than that, I've been, dad, husband, taking care of the to-do list at home and obsessing over, what the Patriots can do, what they need to do, what they didn't do, every off season. But I've got a little time on my hands. We'll see what happens. Do some writing and hopefully some more broadcasting.
But in fairness, it is a 365 day a year sport now, so there is a lot to cover. All right,
I have a good life, Fred. I have a good life. It's not taxing at all, especially in the off season. There's no off season for a lot of people in football. There is for me.
Yeah, but you have to work next to patient zero, so I don't know. how that goes. All right, we know what happened in the game, right? Okay, yeah. So we've been discussing this all morning. I'll get your take on it. Are you a little, now that the season's over and they spent all the money and they went to the playoffs but they got killed, are you disappointed in their the way that they've handled the last couple off seasons, or are you of the mind that this team still can improve given what the assets that they have?
Yeah, let me preface it by saying I think it is important to look back and think about where we were this time last year.
Yeah,
going into the spring, all the questions about finding a quarterback, what were they going to do to get back into the playoff picture again? So many areas that they had to address. Now, that, from that perspective, I think the good news is they look like they have a promising quarterback for the future. And I don't think you can anoint him a star, but I think at least, it's a question that doesn't exist. Who's going to be their quarterback next year?
He is definitely an NFL quarterback. That is for sure. Yes.
And then I think, you look at the draft class they had last year, and I think there's a lot of promise and potential there, even with a couple of guys we didn't see, this year because of injuries and whatnot. But all that being said, I thought what the end of the season amplified, I thought what the game on Saturday night showed is that for years, teams in the division, particularly the Bills, especially with this regime that came in there with Brandon Bean as the GM along with McDermott as head coach, they had to look at the Patriots and say, how are we going to unseat New England? How are we going to beat New England, knock them from the AFC East? Now they look at Kansas City and they have shaped their roster to say, how are we going to beat Kansas City in the AFC? I think the Patriots are in a situation where now they have to say, how do we match up with Buffalo? Because right. I thought there were a lot of different areas on Saturday night, as they were at various points, if not all season long, but especially down the stretch, that really were exposed. And I think this team, as others have suggested, needs a makeover on defense. It needs more speed on both sides of the ball.
Can they do that? I'm sorry, Bob, to interrupt. Can they do that in an off season? Given what they spent last year, the limited number, I know they have, their draft picks, but I mean, they didn't go out and acquire, additional draft picks. Yeah. I mean, is this something that could be turned around in an off season?
Fred, I think realistically, I hate to use the word process, but I think that, it is a process.
Yes.
Because I think if you try to do it in a single off season, by spending the way they did last spring, what you're going to find is that you're going to have a few hits. You're going to get a Kendrick Bourne, but you're going to have some misses. You're going to find, you're going to wind up with a guy like Nelson Agholor, who really didn't become the kind of player that, they hoped he would be. Jonnu Smith, I think they have to define, what are they going to try? What are they going to do with Jonnu Smith going forward? How do they get the most out of him? It seemed like this year they're really wasn't a week-to-week plan in terms of really taking advantage of what he brings at that position. I think they have done in the past with a guy who doesn't get mentioned for obvious reasons much, Aaron Hernandez, that kind of a player, or a guy who was in the division for a long time with Charles Clay. You move around a lot. So I think, you look at spending in free agency, and you're limited by cap space, you're limited by the number of unrestricted free agents to be on your roster and the decisions you have to make with a couple of your own guys.
Right.
But I think that's an ill-advised approach. I think there's some of that, but I think it's the next draft class has got to be as good as this last draft class seems to be.
Yeah. That was kind of the point I've been making for a year now, is kind of echoing what you said, is that you got to give yourself as many shots at the draft as you can. And maybe they hung on to guys a little bit too long, maybe going as nuts as they did in free agency, you know, maybe delays this process a little bit.
Yeah, and I think also in terms of how you evaluate players that you do bring in, you know, I think we're talking about the Bills and you know, you see my Isaiah McKenzie start against the Patriots in week 16, and, you know, he had a big role early on in the game the other night. I think about where he was before week 16. He was their fifth receiver and strictly a return guy for the most part. And then you look at the Patriots and you look at their personnel group at wide receiver. Gunnar Olszewski was that guy. You know, and the difference in terms of the skills of the speed and the athleticism of both. I mean, that's not the slight, you know, Gunner, but, you know, Isaiah McKenzie, you know, is a guy that could step in offensively and catch 11 passes for 125 yards in a game for the division championship. And so I just look at the depth along with, you know, the athleticism, the speed, the explosiveness. We talked a little bit about that last week. And I think the only way you really develop that over and sustain it is through the draft primarily, not that McKenzie was drafted, he just picked up off of Denver. And then finding guys like that, you know, I think that you kind of have to reevaluate in some respects. I think the Patriots have done this, as reflected by their draft class last year. You know, what kind of pieces you go out and acquire?
Well, yeah, I mean, they certainly had a better draft last year than normal. Yes, John.
I wanted to ask you about the veteran leadership angle. We were talking with Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald about this earlier, and more specifically, McCourty and Dante Hightower. I think they've run their course.
Oh, you can't keep Hightower.
Bob, I think they've both run their course. I don't know if you can bring both back next year if you want to get younger and faster. Do you think the Patriots will bring both of them back or one of them back next year?
Jed, I don't know. I don't know if both are going to want to come back. Honestly, I don't know if you know, Hightower opted out in 2020, came back this year. He came back leaner. It took him a while. I think in the season, as he talked about early on, to really get his legs, and then down the stretch, you know, he was a shell of his former self. Certainly not the player that he had been. And I thought that was really, you know, evident in the last game against Buffalo, especially, and then, you know, down the stretch as well. You know, and I think in Devin McCourty's case, he's interesting to me because I think he still is important, and I think he still can play at a high enough level. We're bringing him back, you know, on the right terms for you and for him, and I think you know what that means. When it comes to Patriot veterans, you know, appealing to their desire to finish their careers in New England, whether they will take a discount or, you know, seek the market rate, because I think there will be suitors for him if he wants to continue to play. I think his off-the-field interests, you know, may pull him in a different direction, or they could persuade him to keep playing and continue to utilize the platform he enjoys. You know, he's a guy that I think still is important in terms of policing what they try to do week to week. You know, it looked bad on Saturday night from the secondary for a lot of different reasons. And I think it was an unfair fight in a lot of ways for that particular group against the Bills receivers. And you're talking about guys that, like Bosby, hadn't played all year, was on the practice squad. Last game for him was the season finale last year for Denver. D'Angelo Ross, Miles Bryant, you know, those guys were playing in the secondary. And McCourty's trying to keep them on the same page and keep that unit competitive against what they were facing on the other side. And down the stretch, it was a succession of changes in the secondary. So my long way of saying, I think in the right situation, the right position, you know, they're not going to be the players they were. You know, but I think in McCourty's case, he's a guy that, you know, to me, it would make more sense to bring him back with the idea that he's going to have a continued prominent role in our plans. And if Hightower wants to continue to play, and, you know, and Bill wants him around, I think it's probably a much more limited role for him going forward. But again, I think the question remains, you know, does either want to come back? Does either want to continue to play?
All right. Well, someone misses someone. It's been too long. His name is Scott Zolak.
You're both going to sit next to
I got to drive Bob home yesterday. I shook his hand. I said, thank you for a great year. It was good to have some real good football back. It wasn't great, but it was good. Then I got Fred taking patient zero shots at me. Where'd that come from?
I mean, it's payback for the cat stuff.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Baby. Yeah, you attack the fluff, you attack the family. No, you've just been ill a lot. That's all.
I was fine. I wasn't ill. I was ill one day.
I don't know. You weren't here. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You just
weren't
here.
They make you stay home. I was close contact to somebody that had it.
All right. Well, you just weren't around. I was just ribbing your jib. That's all I was doing. You got anything to say to Bob?
I'm coming in. Yep. I'm coming in and I'm licking your doorknobs.
If you mean nipples, I'm all in. Thank you.
Who knows? Who knows what I got, man? Sitting at 2 4-hour delays at JFK in New York with all those really, really clean people.
I can't believe they made you fly through JFK. They made Scott fly through JFK to get Buffalo. To Buffalo.
Unbelievable.
I didn't stop bitching the entire trip. Not once.
Bob, did you have to fly through JFK too?
Yeah. My flight wasn't delayed going out, but I was with Zoe yesterday. It was a great fest for a lot of people yesterday, not just Zoe.
Well, it's good to know that they're treating you like stars. That those two 15-minute flights
could have driven there quicker.
But who wants to drive up there and then you get stuck at the airport for 4 hours? All right, Scott, I will see you when you come in and lick everything.
Bye, guys. See you,
Bob. Hey, Zoe, thanks for a good season. Thanks for the ride.
Okay, pal.
All right.
Love you.
There you go.
Bobby said he loved you. You have anything to say to him?
Love you, too.
Perfect. Nice. Bob, that's a correct response.
That was sweet. He's never told me he loved me.
I know. Jeez.
I love our time together.
I know you do. I know you like
See what he said, though? I love our time together.
Yeah. That's a good point. Jones to ferret out that information.
Bob isn't one of these guys that just chucks that word around.
That's a good point. You got to work for it. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
yeah, you got to be real secure with the relationship to throw the L word out.
Yeah. You were in here when he went after the cat. You were in here with him.
Yes.
Bob, are you aware of what Scott did?
No, I'm unaware.
I had a 21-year-old cat, and the cat was very, 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 very ill. I mean, like, it couldn't get off its side.
It's 21.
Right. Yes. So I had that longer than I've been with my wife. I lived alone when I got the cat. An old girlfriend, in fact, gave me the cat.
Yeah, he said through a bunch of moves.
Yes, through many moves. And so the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I make the decision. I'm like, I have to put the cat down. And so they go, the next appointment we had, and I got to be the one that did it. I've had it. So I got to miss work that day because 9 a.m. is the only time I can put the cat down. I go put the cat down. I come home. I go out to get like a sandwich. I get in the car and here's Scott Zolak making fun of me unmercifully. For taking the day off and to put down the cat as if
he had his picture too.
Yeah, it was a picture of the dead cat and everything. And I was so emotional, Bob. And I had to call in and straighten him out. That's not very nice from your partner. You got to talk to him next year, okay?
Well, he's fortunate he didn't take similar comments on a blog that I wrote this past year about losing our lovable Leo, who was a cat that we had, we adopted. From the Quincy Animal Shelter when my wife and I first moved to the area before we had kids, a cat that grew up with our kids and, our third child. We have two cats now along with our dog. So I totally empathize.
Bob, what you and I are what they call good people. And you know what? The world needs as many of us as they can get.
Just telling someone that the other day. We need more people like you, Fred.
Yeah, me and Bob. Do. All right, Bob. Well, a tremendous job this season, and I'm sure we'll talk to you before next season gets underway. And all the best. Thank you so much for coming on every week.
Hey, sincerely, I've enjoyed our conversations this year. I think there was discomfort with everything that I did off the air and even on the air during broadcasts when I started. But you guys have been great, and I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Take care, Bob.
We appreciate
thanks.
It.
All right.
All right, there you go. The great Bob Sosi. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as you can expect, as today's been a post-mortem for the Patriots season, Adam Jones is in for Rich. Rich will be back. I don't envy Rich. He's in a very small apartment with two sick kids. Dan doesn't agree with anything that I've said, thereby what you two have said is this morning at all. Dan, go ahead.
Good morning, Fred. Just think you're underestimating culture when it comes to developing a winning team. Like, you can't go around, like, giving away a season or just like, oh, we'll tank for a better pick, because then you set the expectation that losing is okay. And so that's why the Lions are the Lions and the Jets are the Jets, because they're continually in this cycle of, oh, maybe next year. Let's take a step back.
Can I please correct you on the Jets? All right, here's what the Jets have done. They've never done what they're doing now. They had two, biblically bad general managers in John Idzik and Mike Maccagnan. And so one year they had Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback, and they came a game away from making the playoffs. The next year he signed Le'Veon Bell. He signed Tremaine Johnson from the Jags. He spent an insane amount of money. And what happened is they sucked, and it put them in the position that they're in now. So,
which is still sucking.
Right,
they weren't tanking. They were trying to compete and just sucked.
Right, they tried to compete through free agency, and it ended up them sucking. Now the Lions, they draft Matthew Stafford, and they his entire time there tried to buy into free agency. I mean, look at when Patricia got there, Trey Flowers and everything else. So You're mistaken. The Lions and the Jets have not been in a perpetual teardown mode. Their ownership sucks, so that explains both of them.
And the culture sucks around it, because always level set and reset
There's no expectation of
excellence or winning.
There wasn't in Buffalo for a long time either, though, and look at the Bills. They're fine.
Thurman Thomas, Kelly.
That's 30 years ago. Like, that's forever ago. The Bills were a laughing stock franchise, too, and look at them now.
The Jets made two AFC championships games
Buddy Nix, the guy who got pranked on a phone call at Buffalo GM?
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, is like, look at Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati.
It's another good one.
You can look at the Patriots. Early 90s Patriots were terrible because they had this mindset of, like, losing's okay. Parcells comes along, changes the mindset, says, hey, we're going to build something here. We're going to set high expectations. Did it work out every year?
No, it's competent as opposed to incompetent.
Okay, but let me tell you where I agree with you in this, is that the way that you cannot have a losing culture. You cannot. And it's hard for organizations to get past that, and the Patriots are not there. And I don't think the Patriots having two losing seasons, and I wouldn't call it tanking either. I would call it developing young talent. Now, would I have a McCourty? Is it ridiculous that they kept McCourty? No. Could you convince me that keeping McCourty these last two seasons was the correct thing? Yes. Just because you do need veterans on the team that have won, that can set an example and can control the locker room. So that I agree with you with. But everyone always yells at, like, you know, the Jets are always perpetually rebuilding, and the Lions are always perpetually rebuilding, but it's just not true. They never did this, which was why they always sucked, because they always tried to buy their way into free agency and it never worked out.
They tried a shortcut.
Right.
Instead of committing to the long haul, they tried a shortcut.
Exactly. Yeah. They always tried to shortcut it.
I would just say, like, the percent, if you look at, like, the drafts, like, the first round's really like a 50-50 crapshoot, and then everything else is around, like, your organizational effectiveness in terms of developing a draft. Have the Patriots done a great job of that the past few years? Absolutely not.
I think the first round culture is
for five slots in the draft, I don't think is worth you know, creating an expectation that, hey, we're not going to try and win.
No, but it's not, you're trying to win games, but the thing is that you're playing youth. See, the idea is that is not to lose.
You're emphasizing future over the immediate.
For instance, like if the Jets would have lost to Jacksonville this year, they would have had a top two pick and they could have gotten one of those two edge rushers that they desperately need. But the idea was to not lose to Jacksonville. Like, you don't go into these games to lose. So I believe if you have the right coach, and Belichick certainly is that coach, and there's certainly the organization is, you know, is the league, what everyone wants. And so I believe that the Patriots, you know, if you say I'm going to play young talent, I'm going to develop young talent, I'm going to draft well, I'm going to build my depth in that way, we might not win for a couple years, but then when I believe that I have my young core, then I'll sprinkle in free agents at that point is the way that you build teams. I mean, Kansas City, you know, when they had Mahomes, still had him under the rookie deal, and that's when they added a bunch of free agents. I mean, if you just look at, I mean, the Bengals is the team that I would look at now that have done that. But that is misinformation about the Jets. The Jets have screwed things up the exact opposite way. They did what the Patriots did, and that's not what has worked out. And I believe the Patriots are a strong enough organization with good enough ownership and certainly a good enough coach to handle 2 years of losing. But I do want to say that because everyone goes, well, what about the Jets and the Lions? And the thing is, the Jets don't do this. I don't recall them doing this.
I just think
I don't recall them going, this is going to take 3 years.
So I said this earlier, right? Like, that's going to be the counterpoint to tanking and accumulating draft picks, or tanking might be too strong of a word, but like trading off veterans to acquire draft picks now and play youth, right? That's going to be the pushback. Culture. I just think that gets overrated. It's not meaningless, but it gets wildly...
Dude, you get Burrow.
It gets wildly overrated.
You draft Burrow, and he takes off, and all of a sudden, what's my culture?
Right. Your culture is just having an elite quarterback. It's like culture in the NBA. You need a superstar.
Right.
Maybe that's not a perfect example with the Celtics right now, but generally, you have a superstar, you're going to be fine.
And
you have the quarterback, you're going to be fine.
And you cannot buy culture. And by the way, these guys are free agents. These are guys that teams have chosen not to keep. You know, there's usually red flags with these guys. Aguilar, Jonnu Smith. I mean, if Jonnu Smith was this otherworldly player, would Tennessee have let him go? Are they that strapped against the cap where, like, something could be worked out? And certainly, if you're a Patriots fan, you got to believe the culture here is I mean, you got a 70-year-old coach with 17 million championships. I mean, you think two losing seasons everyone's going to be all bummed out? No. And it's hard. And that's why it's hard to find the right coach, and it's hard to do this. It is. But I can tell you one thing. It never works to try to buy it. It never does. It doesn't.
Well, the recent track record on it is horrible. The recent track record is the biggest spenders. I've gone back to this Mike Reese story from the preseason a bunch. The biggest spenders in free agency, they all get a one-year bump, including the Patriots this year. The Patriots went from a 7-win team to a 10-win team. But, like, you know, the 2016 Giants went from missing the playoffs to 11-5. The Jaguars went, you know, from being the Jaguars to making an AFC title game at 10-6. The Bears jumped to 12-4. Even the Jets went from a bad team. They spent in 2019. They went up to 7-9, I think, in Darnold's second year. The Dolphins last year jumped to 10-6. They all fall off the next year. They all miss the playoffs. So, like, you already got your year one jump. You got the most out of that injection of free agency you're going to get. All these other teams went crashing and burning the next year, in year two. Maybe that's too strong for the Dolphins. They still missed the playoffs. They dropped off by a win to 9-8. But, like, largely, the teams, you get like a 3-4-5 win bump in year one, and then you lose 3-4-5 games in year two. That's now what's waiting for the Patriots. The bill is about to come due.
And by the way, if you asked any personnel guy in the NFL, they will tell you that you have to build through the draft. It's a capped league. It's a salary capped league. It's not baseball. I mean, it's not baseball where you can just be Los Angeles and just go, we're going to sign every player that's available.
Right.
And it's not baseball where...
Yeah, and you got to build through more than one draft. You can't just have one decent draft like the Patriots had and be like, we're all fixed.
No,
you got to string together a bunch of those.
No. I mean, look at... I mean, this is before free agency, but I mean, look at, like, the Steelers. Like, they, I mean, they had a draft, I think, where they drafted 5 Hall of Famers. I mean, and they were the joke. I mean, the Steelers were 3 bricks shy of a load. They were the joke team. They were the worst team in professional sports. And then they go out and they get Mean Joe Green and John Stallworth and Lynn Swann and Mel Blunt. And they get, you know, the, and Jack Lambert, I think, in that draft. They get, the, you know, you, and this is before free agency, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, this is the way you win. And it takes a good coach who can keep the team together and develop culture. And it's not easy. And it's certainly not easy with a team like the Jets, and it's certainly not easy like a team with the Lions, who are perennial losers, especially the Lions. They're perennial losers. But it's a better option than just throwing money at the situation and getting up against the cap and starting all over again. Because the dam will break, because you just don't have depth. You got a field, you know, with the practice squad, what, 60 guys. You got to field the team. And you can't just sign guys, and especially with free agents, and you're going to whiff on half of them, which is might be optimistic.
It's 1974 Pittsburgh draft. Lynn Swann, first round. Jack Lambert, second round. John Stallworth, fourth round. Mike Webster, fifth round.
All right, so there you go. I got the names wrong.
But no, but I mean, the point is still there. I mean, that's as home run of a home run draft as you can get.
It's a good draft.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cowboys. When they had the Herschel Walker trade. I mean, they built that whole team. Yep. They had taken Aikman. They sucked. I think they went 1-15.
Yep, that was Aikman's rookie year.
Then they
yep.
traded Herschel Walker, and then they got 15 picks.
Right. Yeah.
And they hit on everybody. They got Irvin and Russell Maryland, and I mean, down the line,
Emmitt Smith and Darren Woodson, and all those.
Yeah, they got all those guys. I mean, that's how dynasties are built. That's how you do it. And it's not easy, but that's the way it's done. But enough with this telling me that the Jets and Lions, I know they suck, but they suck precisely for the reason that I'm saying the Patriots are doing the wrong thing.
No, right. What the caller's saying is that you can't tank because it creates a bad culture. The Jets haven't committed to full-on tanking, or the Lions. They try to create shortcuts by spending their way out of it. And they screw it all up.
Yeah, do you think they were trying to tank when they had Stafford and Johnson? I mean they whiffed on 17 receivers, yes.
One quick thing before we go to break, and it just merits mentioning here. Will this head coach stick around if you decide to go in that direction?
Well, he's making these decisions, he's making the decisions
whoever's making the decision. If the decision is made organizationally, said okay,
yeah, that we're going
we, to we're this is the direction we're going to go in. If Bill Belichick's at the head of the table, does he say, oh yeah, okay, I'll stick around another 3-4 years while we work this out? Probably not.
No, he won't do that.
Take a pick for him. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. If you really want to, you know, go get assets, take a pick for Bill. Like, is he a difference maker? No, he's obviously not a difference maker. He won 10 games and got smoked.
And you know some dumbass team is going to, that's like...
I bet you could get a couple of picks for Bill.
I bet you could, and I bet you'd be some dumbass team that's like 8 years away from winning. And then they'll take a 70-year-old coach, and I bet you Bill would come in and turn things around and maybe make him a playoff team.
Yeah.
Then retire 2 years later, and then you're back where you were.
Make him a playoff team, lose by 30 like they did the other night.
Exactly.
And there you go. I mean, coaching only takes you so far. It's not a difference maker. It only takes you so far.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm glad the guy called in, because you can stop tweeting me with that, because it's not true. It's just not.
Wait, is he tweeting you, or you're just getting same tweet?
No, the same tweets.
I see.
Like, anytime anyone's like, should do what the Jets and the Lions do. And I said, no, don't do what the Jets and the Lions did. Don't do that at all. That's not what they've been doing. They haven't gone, just get rid of everyone and start over again. They haven't done it. This is the first time in my life the Jets have done it. And this is the first time in my life the Lions have done it. So, I mean, that I can recall. I mean, I don't remember much about the 80s Lions with Wayne Fonts, but what do I know? All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots players are in Foxborough to pack up and head home. The team had their season end Saturday night after getting blown out in Buffalo. There were playoff games yesterday. Pittsburgh beat Kansas City 42-21. Kansas City beat Pittsburgh, rather, 42-21. Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdown passes. Tampa Bay beat Philadelphia 31-15. And the Cowboys lost at home to San Francisco 23-17. Seattle will reportedly bring back head coach Pete Carroll next season. And the Celtics face New Orleans this afternoon at TD Garden. Granny and Max have the pregame at noon and the tip-off at 12:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by TestStrips.com. Time to get your diabetes testing plan in place for 2022. If you have extra test strips, Lancets, or CGM supplies, do what Zoe does. Sell them and get a prepaid shipping label, free home pickup, and quick payment at TestStrips.com. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 10 o'clock.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
85 The Sports Hub.
To make a great sports talk radio show work, you got to know when to talk.
Did you take anything specifically away from that game?
And when to listen.
What did we really learn about this team yesterday?
John, that is the exact question Rich just asked.
Thanks.
Is that right?
For listening.
How did I miss that?
To Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Again, I have to make my statement that I was very, very disappointed in Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to tell Mike to pull the Keen Peele thing, but the they did a skit that flat out ripped off Keen Peele. They did a skit where it was lampooning the idea that there was a... that they're doing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air drama. Not a dramedy, a drama, which I can't wait to watch. Another, is it in the Paramount Network? Because it's just, they keep giving me reasons to tune in, but to buy the service. But they did it where, and they, so it's like series with Urkel, and like he's got a gun and stuff, and he's like, should I do that? And it's a direct ripoff of one of the great Key and Peele sketches of all time. And I contend that if you are one of the 30-some-odd performers and writers on that show, that you would at least have a knowledge of that, and that someone could check it, that it was in the back of your head and that they could check that. Yes.
You'll be happy to know it's on Peacock, so you won't have to watch.
Oh, well, Peacock, I forgot even existed.
That streaming service, yes.
Yeah, so if I even forgot Peacock existed, so there you go. So I was, if you're, write them a letter or something and say that I do not like that you stole this.
No, it's not like it's some off the grid show, like some not well known show where it's like, maybe, you know.
And it was viral. Like it was like it went viral.
The
like,
Key and Peele sketch.
Yes, because it was really, it's really, really funny. But I'm not going to play it on the air. It's not a, you can't see it. Mr. Reginald Johnson, who played Mr. Winslow, the guy who's supposed to be Reginald Johnson, goes up to the head of programming at ABC, who's doing blow off the desk and is all manic.
Sure.
And he's like, we just had Urkel create a time warp machine that put me in the thing, and then I'm not even in the effing episode. And he's screaming and yelling. And then all of a sudden, the head of programming from ABC kills himself, and he's like, what's going on? So Urkel comes in, and he picks up the gun to kill Urkel, and Urkel waves his hand, and Reginald Johnson's hand with the gun slowly goes to his own head, and he has to beg Urkel for his life. And Urkel says, just read the lines, and then that's it. But it was ripped off, and so I just thought I'd have to say it.
Do you watch SNL every week?
I don't. I never watch it.
You watch like the highlights?
So AV Club
has
all the stuff. And so I will pick and choose. I don't watch all the sketches. I am at the age where I have no idea who not only the performer, the musical guest is.
Well, I'm at that age and I'm a lot younger than you are. And I half the time I don't know the musical.
Nor do I know the hosts half the time.
I don't know. I know most of the hosts. Some hosts I'm
okay,
unfamiliar with.
I would...
this past week, I saw... I don't recognize the host or the act this week.
Ariana DeBose.
Is she a Broadway actress?
That's what she is?
Oh, well, then I can't believe I don't know her. I love the theater.
That, and you're not a big Bleachers fan, Fred?
Okay. Now, Bleachers is a man.
It
now,
is a gentleman, yes.
Can I tell you something that is that I am thinking of suing the company that put this out?
Oh.
Do you recall the song Fireflies?
Yeah.
I heard that once.
Yeah, I know that song.
Okay, it was playing somewhere I was, and then I couldn't get it out of my head. Then I started thinking about the lyrics, and how much I despise the lyrics to that. Like, I got 10,000 hugs from 100 lightning bugs. And I'm like, who wrote this? In why are they not in a constant swirly? Why is their head not constantly
right. Well,
being forced into a toilet?
Yeah.
And then I watched the video, and I hate him. I hate the guy who made it.
Owl City is the guy, right?
Owl City is the guy. And then I found out that this is, now I feel bad for the guy, because apparently I Wikipedia'd him.
Uh-huh.
So he met Taylor Swift, and then Taylor Swift put out a song about how she had met someone and like was in love with him or something. And it was rumored it was the Owl City guy. So the Owl City guy did a remake of the Taylor Swift song in professing his love for her.
Oh.
And she never got back to him.
Ugh. Tough.
So you hear a song that you think might be about you. You're not positive.
Yep.
But then you go out and then you re-record the song. You go, I have to get into the studio immediately. And you re-record the song professing your love back to her. I mean, that is what you would expect from the 10,000 lightning bugs guy.
Sure. And then it's very flattering she's writing songs about you, though.
But that's, he doesn't know that.
Oh, we don't know that.
What kind of move is it? Like, so even if she did write the song about him, so you're now in the driver's seat.
Yep.
Now it's time to start negging her. I mean, don't you know right. anything about how to pick up chicks?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Now you start going,
don't you know chicks, man? Ignore her, man.
You find out the song's about her. Maybe you go to the press and you're like, I don't know, she's whatever.
Yeah.
And then Taylor Swift, wait, I'm from a very wealthy family. I'm used to people. I own a home in Newport. I'm used to people throwing themselves at my feet.
Yep.
And now Lightning Bugs guy is saying to himself, I got myself a famous lady over here.
Yep.
But no, and then
no chicks for me one time, man.
He says there's a, in the song, he goes, there's a sock hop beneath my bed.
Okay.
I mean, it's really despicable the man did.
I know the song. I guess I've never really dug in too deep
on
the
lyrics. I never did. Yeah. It was a massive hit, and it never bothered me.
Yeah.
But then I heard it, and it got into my head.
Real earworm.
And then I went, what are these lyrics?
Yep.
This man needs to be destroyed. Well,
Taylor Swift agreed, apparently.
Well, I mean, she destroyed. I mean, there's no coming back from writing the love song for Taylor Swift.
No, and then her ignoring you. There is no coming. Yeah, I don't think I hate this song. But I've never really dug in on the lyrics.
The song is not in itself.
Yeah,
something like I understand.
If 10 million fireflies light up the world as I fell asleep.
Where were you? Heard this?
Like CBS.
Okay. The open air and leave teardrops everywhere. You'd think me rude, but I would just stand and stare. I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that I'd rather stay away.
The song in itself is there's nothing wrong with it. All right, here's where it kicks with the garbage.
Okay.
Here's where you really want to hit the kid.
Because I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they try to teach me how to dance.
Here comes the sock hop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A foxtrot above my head. A sock hop beneath my bed. A disco ball is just hanging by a thread.
And first of all, is the song about like going to sleep?
Right.
So again, the song, there's nothing wrong with the song. I get it that it's catchy. I get that it was a hit.
Yep.
But then I investigate the lyrics.
Right.
And
you're let down.
And I really despise the guy. like, will you fall asleep? Unless I'm missing something.
No, I think you're pretty good with this.
And then I went to Rap Genius and looked it up because you can click and they're like anecdote, what's the term?
Yeah,
where you can click and it says like what they're supposed to mean. And I'm trying. I go, there's got to be more to this. There's
like another like a deeper meaning.
There's got to be something to this song that I don't get. Like there's got to be a justification for. First of all, talking about getting hugs from anyone, you just want to kill a guy. And then second of all, like from lightning bugs. And then there was some crap about like before you go to sleep, you see like light.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't, not me. Okay. But when do I get to sleep? I got to go to Hopkinton today.
Enjoy yourself. Remember, behind the middle school.
Thank you. That is actually very good of you
to say. Take a left where it says no left turn. Go behind the middle school.
All right. Yeah, there's
Law-breaking Wallach over here. Take a left where you can't take
a left. That's the only way to get back there. That's part of the problem. Otherwise, you got to walk.
Well, you know the people in Hopkinton, they're always playing their pranks.
That's true.
It's a trap.
They turn the sign on you.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. There's a bunch of cops sitting out there.
Right.
All right. Well, hopefully that lightning bug song doesn't bother you like it bothered me. Adam, thank you.
Of course.
Good time.
Good to see you, Jones.
Rich is living in misery, but he will be back from his home studio tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.